Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this weekend's edition, we're going to be focusing on the resource sector, talking more some individual companies, some investment strategies around investing in resource equities, as well as more big picture views on what's driving some of the moves in the precious metals, as well as some of the base metals, maybe some other metals that we'll get to as well. We're kicking off the show with Joe Mazumdar, editor of Exploration Insights. Now, Joe, you've been joining us on a monthly basis to share your thoughts on what's going on within the resource sector. And what I want to start off with today is the investment landscape, or at least your investment narrative, when we look at exploration companies that have investments or some sort of partnership with major mining companies. Now, I'll first break it down into two different factors here. Major companies can invest in the equity of the underlying exploration company, so they get exposure to all of the projects, or they can choose specific projects and have individual earn-in options on one or a basket of these projects, all with different stages of earning in. Let's start here, Joe. How, when you're an investor, do you look at these two different type of relationships between majors and exploration companies?
All right. Thanks for the question, Corey. I could probably give it to you from both two perspectives, actually, or three. I can give it to you from the retail investor, so what I would look at it as an investor in that junior. I can also tell you what it's like for the junior, because I spend a lot of time with these CEOs, but I also could tell you from the perspective of the major, because I used to do that as well when I worked in corporate development for Newmont. So if we start with the major, you know, if they like a project, they usually like to do a footprint into the company, you know, up to a 19.9% stake. And this is, you know, not unlike marking your territory for, apex predator. And that way telling the other ones that this one's mine. To do it at the project level means less liability for the company, because then they're just earning into the project and they don't have to do a lot of due diligence on the company. Like, does the company have other liabilities? Does the company's management team have any pending lawsuits or anything like that? What you would want with respect to a clean structure is just take equity in the project and not buy shares of the company. So that way you don't have to buy the company, you get the project, and eventually potentially dilute the company out and leave them with an NSR. That would be a clean way of taking the project out, because you're probably not interested in taking out the entire company. From a small company perspective, depending on the company, like with Hercules Silver, when they hit that, intersection at their project in Idaho that I visited last year, they did not want, their management team did not want a project earn-in. They would rather the equity. Because I think from their perspective, the equity can come and go, but it doesn't, there's less risk of another player coming in and bidding them up. Whereas if the major gets an interest in the project, it's harder to find somebody else to come in. And from the perspective of the investor, it's always nice to see a major come in to put a bit of a stamp of approval on the project and or the management team. With respect to exploration, like we were talking about, you know, the multi-year program earn-ins that companies like Headwater and Inflection are doing. What is nice about those is that you can think about the long term, because expiration, grassroots especially, expiration is about the long term. You know, a 3 to 5 year funded program that doesn't need a lot of money, but it needs consistent funding. That way you're not always trying to drill the next intersection because you know you have to go back to the market in March. This way you know you'll have funding. And at the beginning of the year, you're always looking at, okay, what's this next year's program going to look like? And then say, this would be what I'd like to do, but this is might be what I can only do because the market is a lot worse this year. Whereas for somebody like, let's say, Inflection or Headwater, they're more guaranteed of their programs for the next year. And that's basically what grassroots explorers need. So I hope that handles all three perspectives.
So, Joe, what are these majors looking for when they do enter these sort of partnerships, especially on a project-specific aspect? Because, as you said, they can have multiple drill programs here, so it's not so dependent on, let's say, the first drill results. But as, let's say, if you're an investor in these exploration companies, what do you need to see in terms of exploration progress to have confidence that that major isn't going to exit that relationship?
Yeah, you can have something that's more project specific that, okay, here's the project and we're earning into it and we're going to be drilling it and it's got to meet this criteria. So with B2Gold going into Snowline, it's definitely the Valley prospect that they're looking at. You know, drilling that, infilling that, looking at, you know, infrastructure, looking at all that sort of stuff. Very specific to that project. Whereas AngloGold Ashanti with Inflection, that's more grassroots exploration. So what they're doing and spending money on Inflection is basically stuff that they're not doing. So they don't have an exploration team that's doing what Inflection is doing. Inflection came up with the idea. They have the people that understand what they're doing. And basically AngloGold Ashanti is supporting them with even more geophysical data than Inflection would have thought that they would get access to, more geophysical interpretation than they would normally have been able to do. And so the goal of AngloGold Ashanti basically is to find another Cadia, which is obviously a tier one copper gold asset, that, you know, one of the assets that Newmont bought Newcrest for. But that same host rock called the Macquarie Arc that trends to the north in New South Wales goes under soft cover. And that's where Inflection is. They know the Macquarie Arc keeps going. They've drilled it. Now they have to look for the same types of deposits under cover. That requires a multi-year commitment. And AngloGold Ashanti is very willing to do that because the prize is very significant. If we look at Headwater, the initial agreement was signed by Newcrest, and their idea was to look for not Carlin type, but low sulfidation epithermal types of deposits that were underground, 1.5 to 2 million ounces of high grade. But what's happened since is Newmont has taken over Newcrest, and they have a bigger hurdle with respect to how big the deposit's got to be now, because now it's a much bigger company. But also, AngloGold Ashanti in the background has found the Silicon Merlin deposit, which is about 14 million ounces in all categories in Nevada, in the Walker Lane belt. So now that's a different model, looking at the same ground where Headwater already is. So to be able to find something like that is what would interest Newmont, and potentially same sort of deposit style, but, you know, now you're getting into that deposit style could be something that might be tier one for a Newmont.
All right, Joe, thank you very much for your insights. We do get a lot of questions, and we give a lot of coverage to these companies that have majors as partners. But I think a lot of people do wonder, is the upside limited? What are these majors looking for? And they really hope that the major doesn't back away from that partnership. Hey, we're having you back on next segment, though, Joe, and we're going to talk about Narea play as well as some of the recent M&A in the sector. So everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Joe Mazumdar.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user. $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims, and we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Joe Mazumdar, editor of Exploration Insights. Joe, let's talk about the area play in Finland, the Lapland Gold Belt. we have a couple majors active there. Agnico Eagle is there. Kinross also has a stake in Orion Resources. Firefox Gold is an explorer. B2 Gold seems like they're exiting the area. Rupert Resources is a probably leader in exploration there, and they're trying to take B2 Gold's portion of Orion. A lot of moving parts happening in that Lapland Gold Belt with a couple majors active there. So, Joe, give us a bit of a rundown of your takeaway from the action in Finland, please.
Absolutely. So Finland infrastructurally is excellent. The types of deposits they can discover, develop, and put into production are much more profitable despite the latitude because of the infrastructure advantages. Kittilä, which is Agnico's mine, would not be built if it was in Canada. It's 4, maybe 5 gram underground refractory. There's no way you would build that project in Canada. You know, you would be dealing with diesel power and, you know, infrastructure issues, ice roads and all that other stuff, camps. Whereas these people drive to work every day. They have grid power, which is mostly hydro, that comes right to site. And, you know, it's open all year round. There's no, port facility that's required to bring in all the equipment. So Finland is excellent with respect to infrastructure. But then you add a high-grade open-pit deposit, which is what Ikkari is. So you've got a potential major deposit here in a great jurisdiction, all the infrastructure you could want. But the problem is the land position requires a layback that would make that mine much more profitable than the scoping study suggests. The pre-feasibility study that Rupert was planning on doing in the first quarter has been pushed back. Why? Because I don't think anybody who wants to take over Rupert wants to see a feasibility study where they can't lay back further to the south onto the B2 Gold Orion joint venture. So they're asking, whoever they are, the suitors, which I would think would be Agnico and potentially B2 Gold, because even if they sell their part of the joint venture, if Rupert or somebody can consolidate that area, they will definitely be a takeout target. The game is definitely afoot in that area of Finland. And for me, that's an exciting, probably, it's about, I think it was 60 days from the initial announcement that something's going to give. And so that's an exciting one to watch.
So, Joe, with so many companies active here and consolidation needed, but some clear suitors that could do that consolidating, as an investor, how would you invest in this area if you wanted to put some money at work?
Well, I already have. I'm in Orion Resources. They're the cog in that entire agreement to consolidate. And if it was a weaker player or in weaker hands, that right of first refusal, I might have sold it earlier. But because, the chairman is David Lotan, I just spoke to him in Zurich when I was at the Swiss Mining Institute. I've got all the confidence in the world that he'll do the best thing for shareholders there, as he is himself one of the bigger shareholders of the company.
So, Joe, one more company that I want to get your quick insights on that has a strategic investment that actually has just made a new discovery that really got moving this week in the market was Awale Resources in Côte d'Ivoire. I've had them on the show a number of times earlier. We've seen a management change. We've seen almost a renewed effort in terms of exploration and a new discovery that the market took note of, that Charger discovery. What's your takeaway from this, at least, initial discovery?
Well, kudos to the management team, the exploration team. They've done an excellent job. I owned that one a while ago, back in 21, and this was a really, decent 6-cent private placement. I think it hit a buck yesterday. But I sold it probably because of all the reasons you just mentioned. There were management issues, and my focus at that time was more on the Empire prospect, which was just to the south, and that hit some 100 gram meter intersections as well. But the continuity wasn't there, and they weren't able to reproduce it. And since they've gone through a few other prospects, and I think that the Newmont joint venture, although it looks now very inexpensive, $15 million to get 65% of that land package, it looks cheap, but at that time where they were getting no fundamental support from the markets, it looked good. You know, 12 cents, you know, equity, private placements, the joint venture. So they knew that they had money to continue and they were able to drill these sort of holes. Because if you look at the cross section, there's two holes that they drilled. There were scissors, looked like scissors on the cross section, and they didn't hit much. But they drilled a hole underneath that was at a different orientation, according to Andrew Chubb, who's now the CEO and formerly the VPX, because they thought, you know, this other orientation of structure might have been better. And with that, you know, they hit this whopping hole. In this intrusion that's brecciated, where they get the breccia and they get the really good silicification is where they start getting these 200 plus gram per ton intersections over a meter. So yeah, very impressive. Looks cylindrical and it's very structurally controlled. So kudos to Andrew. That was a very good bit of exploration.
Well, and Joe, this brings up one of the areas of the resource space that gets exciting for investors, and that's the potential of M&A and the potential of takeovers and the good old-fashioned bidding wars. And we did just see a bidding war with Osino, where Dundee Precious Metals came in to make an offer, and then a Chinese consortium ended up buying the project out. It was actually a win for shareholders. Instead of a take-under, we actually had a legit takeover. And then we're seeing a move by Alamos Gold to move on Argonaut. So this brings in the larger discussion of M&A in the sector. I'd love to get your thoughts on how you see things shaping up.
Well, absolutely. I think M&A in the gold sector is, you know, obviously a good sign that companies want to make their acquisitions happen before they think the valuations are going to get higher. So M&A is always a good sign that the market's about to turn. And with respect to Osino in Namibia, a multiple bid, increasing offers and converting to all cash. So I think Dundee, which had a large working capital position, was going to offer 50% cash, which was also a nice offer and also at a decent premium. But then Yintai came over them. The only risk there is the Canadian government. And if they sort of put the kibosh in it because it's a Chinese acquirer, let's see what happens there. But otherwise, yeah, that's definitely a good sign with respect to the gold sector.
All right, Joe, we're out of time here, but everyone, if you want to hear that full interview where we chat with Joe for a good another 10 minutes, visit our website, kereport.com, or podcast, The KE Report. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
News update. The White House says President Biden will be visiting the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse next week. The Navy bringing in big cranes on barges to assist workers in lifting the remains of the mangled bridge from the water. Here is Maryland Governor Democrat Wes Moore.
to see a freight that is nearly the size of the Eiffel Tower, and to see that same freight with the Key Bridge resting on top of it, to see shipping containers that were ripped in half as if they were paper mache.
In USA News for Your Health, the CDC reporting the first human case of swine flu in the U.S. this year. Doctors think a child in Pennsylvania caught the virus after being in contact with pigs. Occasionally, this infection can jump to humans. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Joe Mazumdar focusing a bit more on the resource equities. In these final two segments, we're chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. We're going to be talking gold and silver, more the broader markets. CPM Group just released their gold yearbook, which I recommend you all check out. A lot of information within that over 200-page report focused on the gold market. Jeff, let's start off with a consistent driver behind gold demand. That's been the demand out of the East. China, as well as a number of other countries, have continued to build their gold reserves. We talked about this actually a few months ago, where this is, I believe, a 10-year trend that we've seen some higher demand from the East. How do you see this playing out? What's some of the more up-to-date data that you have?
Well, yeah, it's interesting, and it's actually been going on since about 2008 or so. And it's varied from country to country. Our data now for the full year of 2023 was net central bank buying of about 14 million ounces. And of that, you know, if you disaggregated it, about 18 million ounces gross purchases, of which 7 million ounces were the People's Bank of China. You know, so the People's Bank of China has been buying consistently now since November of 2022. They've been absorbing a lot of the gold that had built up in market inventories within China. And they've probably absorbed most of it now, so that you've got a Chinese market that is more tighter, more balanced. And I think that's being reflected in an increase in Shanghai premium over the London market. India, you know, and China's been adding gold reserves to gold to its monetary reserves since 2009. India had earlier been a seller, but they started reversing around the same time, and they bought some gold, and then they walked away, and then they come back in buying. You know, basically what you've got is India and China, first off, proclivity toward gold. But if you look at Greater Asia, these are countries that have a proclivity toward gold as an investment and as a form of savings and a monetary reserve. And there are also countries that don't have a lot of gold reserves in their central bank holdings, partly because they weren't major trading partner countries during the Bretton Woods system. You know, if you look at like Germany, which has close to 100 million ounces of gold in its reserves, all of that gold was built up between 1950 and 1971 by virtue of the fact that people were buying German goods and paying for them with dollars, and then the Bundesbank would take those dollars and buy gold from the U.S. Treasury at $35 an ounce. After the Bretton Woods system ended, they stopped buying gold. But all that gold was built up during the Bretton Woods dollar gold standard, when gold was used for international trade and capital flow settlements. India, China, a lot of Southeast Asia, East Asia were not major trading countries back then. They became major trading countries starting in the 80s and 90s, and they collected a lot of dollars. So whereas Germany, the United States, France, the UK, Italy had maybe 80 to 95% of their monetary reserves in gold, these countries had 80 to 95% of their reserves in dollars. And what you've seen since 2008 is a lot of central banks saying, we need to diversify away from dollars. It's not that we want to dump dollars, but we shouldn't have 80 to 95% of our reserves in dollars. So let us buy some gold, let us buy some euros, let us buy some other currencies. Some countries will try to match their currency foreign exchange reserves to their trade flows. So, you know, depending on how much they're buying and importing from various countries, they'll try to have that percentage of their foreign exchange reserves in that country's currencies. So you've seen this diversification. It's been going on now for about 16 years, and it's likely to continue going on for decades to come. So, it spells good. It's good for gold and gold price expectations because it's pretty much a consistent demand. Obviously, you know, if you look at China, they were big buyers through June of 2019. When the price went over 1350, they stopped buying because they didn't want to chase the price higher. When the price came down back to 1640 in November of 2022, they started buying again. So you can expect some price sensitivity. You can expect some cyclicality. But over the long run, you should expect a lot of these central banks to be consistent long-term buyers of gold for addition to their monetary reserves.
Yeah, Jeff, it's been interesting to watch the Asian buyers be very savvy in buying when there's pullbacks in the price. But also, to your point, many central banks just diversifying out of their currencies and putting a portion of it into gold along with other foreign currency exchange just to diversify their asset base. But on the retail investor side or the institutional investor side, I'd love to get your thoughts on what patterns you're seeing, because the pattern has been in the ETFs outflows. And you had made the point on our show a few times, that's because people were really shifting more to holding the physical metal. But even recently, we've seen some inflows into the ETFs. So what's your outlook on the retail and institutional investors?
Yeah, it's interesting because I believe through January, you were still looking at pretty hefty outflows from ETFs. I'm just looking at, you know, January, at the end of February, you had had 3 million ounces of net withdrawals or redemptions in gold ETFs, and that's reversed in March. It's a kind of an interesting phenomenon because if you look at other markets like India is looking at record high gold prices and weak rupee, so they pulled back in March from buying as much. Chinese demand may have softened a little bit. some of the institutional investors that we know of in the United States and high net worth individuals pulled back. You've seen some softening in March in investment demand from various sectors, but others have poured into the ETFs this month. And I think what that reflects is investors who were not necessarily active gold investors but saw the gold price rising, and it's like, how do I buy gold? Well, the ETF is the easiest thing to do. So I think that that's what you're seeing with the inflows in March, is investors saying, I want to get on this gravy train. Gold is making record prices in March. Let me buy some ETFs. It'll be interesting to see if that continues, or if some of those guys then convert, you know, liquidate their ETFs and buy physical metal to hold it on a different basis, which is really the trend that we saw over the last 3 years plus. You know, since 2021, we've seen investors selling their ETFs, you know, about 6 million ounces of sales last year. Overall, investors were buying about 24, 25 million ounces of gold last year, but ETF holders were actually reducing their gold holdings about 6 million ounces. And, you know, that was, to us, that reflected concerns over the financial market and financial industry stability, that you had investors saying, I do want to have exposure to gold, but I don't want to have counterparty risk that I have with ETFs, because these things are, at the end of the day, equities that are managed and administered by financial institutions. And that's been a trend over the last couple of years. It'll be interesting to see if that resumes if the price plateaus.
All right, Jeff, thanks for breaking down some of what you're seeing. Just in terms of the investment demand when it comes to gold, I think a lot of people do get distracted by a lot of other noise out there that doesn't actually drive price, especially at the current moment. We are going to have you back on to wrap up the first hour. We're going to talk a little bit more about your gold price projections as well as your outlook for silver and the investment demand around that. So everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Jeff Christian.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Welcome back. Wrapping up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Continuing to chat with Jeff Christian. Jeff, we talked a lot about the investment demand for gold. Let's talk price projections then. Please share with us your outlook on where the gold price is going.
Yeah, we've been bullish on gold. We expect the gold price to set new record levels this year. You know, we have been saying that we thought that the gold price would rise to record levels in 2024 and probably again in 2025. And on an annual average basis, the annual average price has been a new record for the last 4 years. So we think that's going to continue for the next 2 years. What surprised us is that we thought that the demand for gold would be a little weaker now in the first quarter than it has been. We've seen very strong demand for gold at times, and we've seen the gold price, you know, push to new records, like I said, twice in the course of March to date. That tells us that investors are very much concerned about future economic developments and political developments. Our expectation is that the gold price may cool off a little bit in the second quarter. There's some seasonality there, and also we are seeing some price hesitancy to buy at record prices. So, you know, we might see prices plateau, but they're plateauing at a much higher level than we thought. And our expectation now is that the gold price will indeed set new records and that the gold price will be much stronger in the last 4 months of this year into 2025 than they are now. So we're looking for record prices. Now, when we say record prices, we're not talking about $30,000 gold or $10,000 gold. But, you know, if you look at the gold price on an annual average basis, last year was a very strong record, and the average price was $1,953. This year, the price is probably going to be at least 10% higher than that on an annual average basis. Now, if that means that the gold price averages, say, you know, something north of $2,050, so up $100 or more on an annual average basis, the intraday price will be that much higher. And I could easily see $2,400 or even $2,500 an ounce gold over the next 12 months on an intraday basis. But remember, those intraday spikes, they last for like 10 minutes or 20 minutes, and then the price comes down. So we're looking for higher prices. We think that the world is going going to be more treacherous 12 months than it is from now than it is today, or especially 9 months from today. And we think that investors, you know, we're looking at the economy, they'll see a weaker economy by then. They may see more concerns about a recession in late 2024 or 2025. There's going to be a lot of political issues, not just in the United States, but around the world and internationally. And we think that that combination of all of these factors are going to cause investors to pick up their gold purchases. And if they bought like 24, 25 million ounces last year, you know, they might buy 28 million ounces this year. So we're looking at strong gold market this year and next year. And it's based partly on the supply-demand and investment demand trends, central bank demand, but it's also based on our economic and political outlook.
So, Jeff, how does this all carry down to the gold stocks then? I know you talked to a lot of the larger gold mining companies, and broadly the larger gold mining companies seem to be more interested in combining with other larger gold miners and shedding non-core assets. Does this higher gold price environment change any of their strategies, and how do investors look at the gold stocks in your eyes?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a gold stock analyst per se. We analyze the gold stocks because we need to know, we need to have a view, our own view as to what future production is going to be from these companies. I think that the higher gold prices will, A, attract more capital to these companies and will make them more desperate to find mergers and acquisitions, because that's what they've tended to do in the past. And you may well see some greater dividends being laid off, because some of these guys, they have pretty good profitability, even on an all-in sustaining cost basis. The question in our mind is how much of the money will be spent on exploration and pre-development work as opposed to mergers and acquisitions. And our view is that the focus will be on mergers and acquisitions at the expense of exploration and pre-development, which is sad, because that exploration and pre-development really needs capital to fund future production.
Well, we'll keep eyes peeled out for more M&A. It does get the animal spirits going in the gold stocks, though. Jeff, we should also probably talk about silver. A lot of interest still in what's happening with the silver price. It has been a little peppier lately. What is your outlook on silver?
Well, silver continues to lag gold, and I think that reflects some investor reluctance to get into silver. There's some investors who have been disappointed that the silver price didn't do what promoters had said it would do. Our expectation is that the silver price will do well. It's probably going to trade between, say, $22 on the low end and $28 on the high end for most of this year. I wouldn't be surprised to see the price testing $28 by the end of this year. Part of that's going to have to do with what happens politically within the United States and internationally in Ukraine and Europe and the Middle East.
So, Jeff, in terms of what's driving silver recently, everyone always wonders, is it the industrial demand? Is it the precious metals demand? What could provide that boost to get silver out of this kind of longer-term downtrend? Is it one or the other in your eyes?
It's got to be investment demand. I mean, fabrication demand provides a solid base for silver, but, you know, I don't think that fabrication demand has a profile that's going to be such strong increase that it will drive the price higher. One of the things that we've seen last year and continuing in this year is really much weaker investment demand. And it's going to take a turn, a reversal of that trend in investment demand to drive the price higher. And one of the things is, you know, the silver market is tight enough that if you saw like a 20 or 30 million ounce increase in net investment demand this year from what we're projecting, that probably is the difference between $22 and $28.
All right, Jeff, I want to ask you more big picture about the environment that we are in the financial front. We have gold at all-time highs, U.S. markets broadly at all-time highs, And even the dollar, yes, it's off its highs from a couple years ago, but right around that 104 level, we would have to go the whole way back to about 2002 when the dollar was hanging out more above just that 100 on the dollar index. So we can even say that the dollar is still broadly in historical nature strong too. What is this environment that the markets are living through right now?
I think the thing, one of the key things to pay attention to is investor concerns and central bank concerns about financial industry stability. You know, it's very interesting because, yeah, you have a relatively good economic environment. You have inflation coming down. You have interest rates plateauing. They haven't been rising. They haven't been falling, but they haven't been rising. And you have relatively good economic activity and a strong stock market. And investors and financial market regulators are looking at the world and saying, okay, this is probably the best that we can expect. And the economy weakens from here. And we have certain inflationary risks that we have to watch out for, and we have recessionary risks that we have to watch out for. So this may be the best economic environment. And in that environment, you're seeing investors buy a tremendous amount of U.S. treasuries. They need U.S. dollars to do that. So the dollar's strong, the treasuries are strong, and gold is strong. Investors are buying a lot, 24, 25 million ounces of gold at record prices in a strong economic environment. That tells you that when the economic environment gets worse, they're probably going to buy even more gold and the price of gold will go even higher. So what you're seeing are investors around the world saying, I'm worried about the future and I'm worried about counterparty risk in a more hostile future economic environment. And that's why you're seeing investors buy gold and U.S. dollars and U.S. treasuries right now. They're looking at their counterparty risk and they're saying, I have to reduce that as much as possible ahead of the next financial crisis.
All right, Jeff, we're wrapping it up here. Thank you very much for your time. Very interesting comments. Everyone, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. Be sure to check out our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report, for all our daily editorials and company updates. Jeff, again, thank you for your time. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.